This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Mission, inviting you to stay tuned now to hear another message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr. And the title of the message you'll hear today is The Truth of Election. And we'll give you the mailing address and more information about the message at the close of the message. You stay tuned now to hear the message, The Truth of Election.
As we look at the doctrine of election, we see what the Bible teaches on the one hand, and what human reason teaches on the other hand. Election is a Bible doctrine which no human reason can understand or believe. Your concept and understanding of the doctrine of election is in proportion as you understand and have experienced salvation by grace. If your salvation is based upon the will of man, which is almost universally taught and believed today, then the doctrine of election means nothing to you. And for me or anyone else to preach Bible election or set forth the great doctrine of election as taught in God's Word, it does nothing but confuse your depraved mind. Now, that's the reason a lot of folks in the pulpit are telling you not to listen to Brother Shelton. They say he'll get you confused. The reason you get confused is because your salvation is based on the free will of man and a little concept of Christ, while you live under a little religious covering and go to hell for your troubles. You don't understand the doctrine of election, because your concept of salvation is only trusting Jesus as your Savior, and that is done at your will and your own good pleasure. Therefore, for me to tell you that the Bible teaches that God back in eternity elected a number which no man can number from among Adam's fallen race unto salvation in Christ, and passed by all of the members of Adam's race, your first cry is, "Oh, God is unjust." Instead of believing God's word as it is, you start your human reasoning. My friend, there are many things about God and God's dealings with man that you have to accept by faith. You can't reason them out. If you could, He would not be God. You'll say, well, here's two individuals. If one is elected to salvation to Christ, and the other one is not elected, and if both of them should believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior, one would be saved, and the other one would be damned. Now, the Bible doesn't teach no such doctrine. Now, I heard that last week. My friend, there's no such doctrine, let me emphasize it, taught in God's Word like that. There isn't. Now you listen. But on the other hand, if the Holy Spirit has opened your heart and mind and your darkened understanding and let you see the hell-deserving sinner that you are, let you see and acknowledge how vile, corrupt, wicked you are by nature, that you are destitute of the love of God, that you are enmity with God, and let you see that you have a heart of unbelief that can't believe until God gives you faith to believe, then you understand election. Not until the Holy Spirit brings you down to the feet of Christ as a hopeless, helpless, hapless, condemned sinner who deserves to go to hell, who deserves no mercy, and let you lie at the feet of Christ, condemned to die, bound by Satan, held prisoner of hell, and your only hope is for a sovereign God to deliver you. Not until you see that God can either deliver you or damn you as He will, that He can either save you or deliver you, or not deliver you, and you see that you are at the disposal of God and that your will has nothing in the world to do with your deliverance, but that it is the will of God. Not until then will you ever understand and appreciate the doctrine of election. You'll find, lying at the feet of Christ as a broken, hell-deserving sinner, that God does de-electing. He makes all the decisions, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. Now, that's hard for the flesh to swallow, isn't it? And the flesh just won't swallow it. But that's God's word. Now, you listen. Don't jump up and send me a telegram like a preacher did one day and say, what are you going to do with John 3:16? All right, let's read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I wrote him the next day, we're going to leave John 3:16 right where it is, because he was speaking here, for God loved the world of God's elect. Now, that's got to be interpreted like that, or it contradicts other scriptures. Well, you said, what scripture? Well, over there in the 9th chapter of Romans, it says, Esau I loved, Jacob I hated. All right? God chose Jacob, left Esau. He loves the world of the elect. God never gives a sinner. God never saves a sinner against his will. God never dips a sinner in the blood against his will. But it is God's will that makes the decision. Now you hold that right there. All right, now listen. Let me say again. Your concept of the doctrine of election will forever and eternally be determined by your concept of salvation by grace in and through Christ Jesus. One day, my friend, I rested at the feet of Christ, condemned to die, and I knew it. I was a prisoner of Satan, and I knew that only God could deliver me. And I learned right there that salvation is not only by blood, but by power. And that's what salvation is. It's by blood. It's by power. I learned also that it was God's choice and not mine. And it is God's choice in any man's salvation. God has to move your heart to will to come to him. And then he has to give you faith to come to him and power to believe him. Yes, he does. The only thing God has to do for you to go to hell, just leave you alone. Just let you alone, and you'll go to hell for your trouble. Now let's look at the truth of the doctrine of election as set forth in God's Word. Election is in the Bible. It's there from cover to cover. And the Bible is filled full of the doctrine of election. Now hold your seats. But we're going to jump two creeks. The doctrine of election is more important than the doctrine of the cross. The doctrine of election is more important than the doctrine of the atonement or blood redemption in Christ. Now, that may startle you, but hold your seats. The doctrine of election has a more important and prominent place in the Bible than the doctrine of the atonement or blood redemption in Christ. To deny blood redemption, you close the door of mercy against you being saved. But to deny the doctrine of election, you rule God out of the Bible, and you rule God out of his universe. That's exactly what you do. To deny the doctrine of election, you make God a little tin soldier. You deny his sovereignty. You deny the will of God is supreme. To deny the doctrine of election, you put God on the sideline as a spectator and exalt man as the ruler of the universe. Man sure would like to be, wouldn't he? Do you see what place then the doctrine of election has in the Bible? To deny the doctrine of election makes God man's footstool. To deny the doctrine of election makes God the servant of man. And that is about the only God some of you folks have. Do you know that? I asked a fellow one day, do you know Jesus Christ? He replied, yes, I have one at home in my truck. And if he doesn't do to suit me, I whip him. Did you know that is the concept of the average individual about God? And I'm talking about you. If he doesn't do to suit you, you whip him. If he doesn't do to suit you, you get up and fuss at him. And you'd kill him if you could. You say, God is unjust. God hasn't treated me right. God's done this. Brother, who are you to talk back to your Maker? You come before him complaining and fussing and quarreling because he does not do what you want him to do. You're whipping God. You're making God a little tin soldier, a little figment of your own imagination. That's the only God you have. The only God you know is just a little figment of your imagination. Now you listen to me. When we open our Bibles, in the very beginning we see that God chose Abel and rejected Cain. Then we find, according to Romans 9:11, how the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of him that willeth, but of him that calleth. He said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Acts 13:48 says, listen, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Ephesians 1:4-5 says, get it now, listen, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Here we find that we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Then in Matthew 20:16, many are called, but few are chosen. Then in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God hath from the beginning chosen us unto salvation. You know I'm glad that's so, knowing the depraved condition of man as set forth in God's Word from actual experience. If God had not chosen me, I'd never have been saved. No, sir. Because everyone he has chosen, he calls. And if it was not for the effectual call of God, no sinner would ever be awakened and broken and brought to Christ. Then in John 13:18, we find these words. Christ said, I know whom I have chosen. Then John 15:16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Then again he says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Then John 15:19 says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but now get it, listen, but I, God, have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Then John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Are you beginning to see, my friend, what important place the doctrine of election has in God's Word? Yet many of you won't have it. You won't believe it. You get mad when I begin to read God's Word on election. Yes, you do. Chump your bits. Oh, he's crazy. Don't listen to old Sheldon. He's got no sense. Now, why won't you listen to him? You won't listen to God's Word. But listen again to God's Word, will you? Romans 11:7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Then Romans 11:5 says, even so then, at the present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Praise God for election in grace. All right, now let's go on. Yes, election's in the Bible. Sovereign election is taught in the Bible. Romans 9:15-16 bears that great truth out. Listen, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, get it now, but of God that showeth mercy. Sinner, fall at his feet, crying for mercy, where you belong. In my first message I told you there are two great lines of truth. One is the doctrine of election, and one is the responsibility of man. They run parallel down the line and meet at the throne of God's grace or at the mercy seat. Now, I'm not going to try to explain that to you. I can't. But there they are in the Bible. You got sense enough, see it, believe it. Listen again to God's Word. Romans 9:18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now, a lot of folks don't believe that, but I want to call your attention to that expression, whom he will, he hardeneth. It does not say they harden themselves, it says he hardeneth. One great truth that you and I need to learn is that every creature is in God's hands to do with as he pleases. You are in God's hands, friend. Listen, you get this truth. You and I are in God's hands. You are under the sovereignty of God, and God dealt with you and me as He pleases. If you're one of God's elect, you will come to Him. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I don't care how sinful you are. I don't care how rebellious you are. You may say, I won't hear Him again, but you will hear Him. You may say, I won't believe, but you will believe. Election will bring you. If I did not believe in the doctrine of election, I'd quit preaching. Do you mean tell me that I'm in the hands of a sovereign God and that He will do with me as He pleases? All right, listen to God's word. Romans 9:20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? Did you get that? God makes some vessels unto honor, some to dishonor. And He never violates the human will in doing so. In connection with these scriptures, listen to 1 Peter 2:8. We're going into God's word now. You listen to God's word. To them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Here we find that those who are not elected are appointed. In other words, their destiny is determined by the sovereign will of God, passing them by and leaving them in their own sins to go to hell. This truth is also brought out in Jude 4. Listen to God's word. Certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. So you see, my friend, not only is election taught in the Bible, I mean sovereign election, but also the great doctrine, reprobation. That is, God choosing some and passing by others, God electing some to heaven, and God electing some to hell. Now, that's taught in God's word. It's there. Now, you can give me such eyes against it, poke your head in the sand like an ostrich, and say, I won't see it, I won't believe it, but it's there. It's been there all the while. It'll stay there when you're in heaven or hell, whichever the case may be. It'll be there when the books are opened, the judgment bar of God. It's right there. You deny that God, if you deny that, you deny God the right of doing that, and you deny His sovereignty. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. God chose Elijah, fitted him and trained him, and passed by many thousands of others. Then when Elijah came down to the end of his earthly life, God chose Elisha and passed by others probably better fitted than he was, and gave Elisha a double portion of his spirit. Christ brought this great truth out in speaking to the Jews one day when he said in Luke 4:25, listen, but I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save Naaman the leper. You know, when Christ spoke here on the doctrine of election, it made His hearers so mad, they tried to kill Him. Yes, it did. Read the scriptures. They gnashed at Him with their teeth. One day, a group of those unsaved religionists were making fun of the Lord Jesus, calling Him an impostor, the son of a fallen woman, a wine bibber or a drunkard. And the Lord Jesus stood there and pulled this great doctrine of election on them and said to them in John 6:44, listen what He did. He said, all right, call me a wine bibber. Call me a child of an illegitimate mother. Call me a bastard if you want to. All right, listen. John 6:44. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. In other words, Christ said, you can make fun of me. You can murmur at my sayings. You can call me anything you want to. But no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Cuss if you want to. Make fun of the Lord Jesus if you want to. Make fun of His children. Put them to death if you want to. But no sinner can come to Christ except the Father draw him. Now, brother, that'll hold you. He had them there, didn't he? They shut their mouth. And I won't tell you, sinner. You say, I won't have Christ rule over me. All right, you don't have to. You don't have to come to Him unless He draws you. That's right. You can't be saved unless God opens the fountain of cleansing. You haven't anything on the Lord. You can't make anything off of Him. So the first sign of election is the moving, drawing, working, and the effectual call of the Holy Spirit to that sinner's heart. This great doctrine should put the fear of God into every one of your hearts. It is the Holy Spirit who makes us willing in the day of God's power. Believing this great doctrine is taught in God's Word, I do not want to be passed by. And every individual whom God is moving in the least, you ought to begin to cry, Lord, don't pass me by. Lord, don't leave me here. I tremble myself, though I am under the shed blood of the Son of God, knowing that I was one day one of God's elect, called and justified, saved by His blood, delivered by His power. Yes, my friend, I stand under the blood trembling as I see that all the things God had to done, just let me alone, and I'd go to hell for my trouble. Yes, my friend, I tremble as I think about the doctrine of election. There should be the desire in your heart and mind to bow right down to God's Word and let Him do with you as He wills. Brother, you are in no position to dictate terms to Jehovah God. God passes by, and may you see it and begin to cry for mercy. God doesn't have to save you. God is still God if no one ever gets saved. The Bible is still the Bible if no one believes it. But if you ever get saved, it'll be because of the sheer mercy of Jehovah God. Brother, we need some preaching along that line this day, don't we? This day of empty religious profession that is nauseating, that stinks to high heaven. The only concept the average individual has of God is a figment of his own imagination, a little effeminate something that stands on the sideline of time and wipes at sins and lets him go on in his sins, satisfied under a little cloak of religious profession. That's it. That's it. God has a right to save whom He will. And if God is moving your heart in the least, there should be a cry going up to heaven, Lord Jesus, don't pass me by. But if you want to make fun and laugh and turn aside and go to hell, that's your business. God doesn't have to save you. Let me tell you something, my friend. The doctrine of God's Word is that fallen sinners deserve nothing but from God but damnation. And if God passes them by and lets them get their deserts and damns them for their sins, because they're sinners, they get nothing but what they deserve. If God had seen fit to send me to hell, I'd have got nothing but what I deserved. I wrote that across my own life long before God saved me. I said, Lord, Lord, if you don't see fit to save me, then I deserve to go to hell, and I'll say amen to my own condemnation. If God saves me, I'll do my best to glorify Him forever and ever. If God saves them, they do not get their desert, they get mercy. Then you say, God made some men to damn them. No, I didn't say that, but that's true. That's what the Bible says. They're appointed to damnation. But I do say that the Bible teaches that God can pass by a sinner if He wants to because of his sins, because he deserves hell fire, without being charged with making that sinner to damn him. God made man, and the only thing God has to do is let you alone. Man made himself a sinner. God didn't make you a sinner. God made man, and man made himself a sinner. And man must take the consequence of his own sin. If God doesn't choose to show you mercy, then you get your desert, and you can't charge God with it. If God chooses to save you, show you mercy, you'll never cease to praise Him. Now, that's the reason a saved person always praises the Lord. Let's put it like this. If any individual is saved or ever gets saved, it's God's will that saves him. If any individual be damned, it's his own will that damns him. That's the doctrine he's taught in God's Word. When a sinner is saved, it is God who makes the difference. Paul asked the question, who maketh thee the difference? This is a great old doctrine that Baptists used to preach years ago. And if you'll get the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, you'll find that Article 8 or 7 sets forth the great doctrine of election. This is not a new doctrine. This is the old fundamental, basic doctrine of God's Word that has been relegated to the scrap heap of modernism in this present age, because the will of man has been enthroned, man exalted the place of deity, salvation the average church is nothing more than a little mental assent to Jesus Christ and shaking the preacher's hand. That's all. Baptists today have a Calvinistic creed for an Armenian ministry. Therefore, the doctrine of election is ruled out, laughed at, and belittled as unworthy of notice by the Armenian ministry. And those who preach it are called crazy, unlearned, wanting to stir up strife, division, and so on. Would to God that I could stir up strife in every home, every church, every pulpit, and make you think, brother, God is on the throne. I wish I could, by the Holy Spirit, to stir the mud seals out of your very soul and let you see whether or not you know Christ. Now let's notice, in closing here, what is the good of the doctrine of election? Why preach it? Why is it practical? What is its practical place? I may say first, it's a mighty power. I preach this great doctrine of election because I'm God's elect minister, and I believe that some are elected and God will give me souls as trophies of His grace. In the first place, election shows forth justice of God. We have had so much sentimental stuff until it's nauseating. We find in God's Word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Suppose that man should go on sinning, and in the end, nobody died. Nobody went to hell. God's justice would be a sham. That's right. In the second place, election shows the mercy of God. And in the third place, it shows the true submission to a sovereign God before whom man stands. That's right. God does not stand there for you to handle Him, but you stand there for God to handle you. And if you're not careful, God will pass you by. Listen, let me say this frankly. A sinner, God does not stand before a sinner to be accepted or rejected. A sinner stands before the bar of God's justice to be saved or damned as God wills. Yes, election kills. Kills salvation by works. Kills everything that savors of the flesh. Election lays the axe to the root of the tree, cuts human merit to tap root, brings the sinner in the dust of repentance at the end of all flesh, and brings him to Christ for salvation. That's what it does if it's preached on the power of God's Holy Spirit, and may it do it now.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions. We've been here a long, long time. Pastor Shelton has been dead many years. We've gone on to be with the Lord. And we air his broadcast now every week over many, many stations, about 100 radio stations. And folks are all over the nation, all over the world now, writing us and calling us, getting these messages in booklet form or on cassette or on CD, mostly on CDs now. And we're also on a new radio facility now we call Radio Missions Radio. You go there to our website, radiomissions.org, and you can see there it says Radio Missions Radio. You can tune in there. I believe you go to that app, they call it, and you can hear that broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We air all of the old messages. We have good sound music by our radio choir, and our regular scheduled services are there. If you need more information or if you're interested, let me know and I'll be glad to help you with that. But remember, the message you heard today was The Truth of Election by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr., and it's number 337. We'll be glad to send it to you in booklet form simply by you writing or calling us, letting us know. Our mailing address here is Post Office Box 1810 Walker, Louisiana, but our phone number here, area code 225-664-8658. I'm always here early in the morning. If you'd like to speak to me, call me. I'll be glad to speak with you. Goodbye, and God bless you.